welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, March 31st, 2023. Some residents of Juba Town celebrate the removal of a requirement for drivers to show assessment certificate to traffic police during road stops.
So I'm not supposed to be asked about driving certificate or assessment when I already have a license. It's the assessment that should be given to me first. Then when I get my license, I don't need to do anything with assessment.
And some residents of South Sudan's capital, Juba, join Voice of America in marking 10 years of broadcasting on 93.6 FM into Juba.
For these 10 years, we have really started a lot. VOA have made great changes in South Sudan, and we have really get a lot of stories in VOA.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Lawmakers from the Great Lakes region are meeting in South Sudan's capital, Juba, to discuss regional security, parliamentary diplomacy for conflict resolution in the Great Lakes region. The lawmakers will also deliberate and draft resolutions on natural resources and challenges facing refugees and internal displaced persons in the region. For VOA News, Viola Elias has this report from Juba.
Speaking during the opening ceremony of the 13th ordinary session of the plenary assembly of the Parliamentarian Forum on the Great Lakes region in Juba, the sitting president of the International Conference, Ambassador Amazon Jeff, said, although most countries in the Great Lakes region enjoy stability, some parts remain encumbered by armed conflict and political instability.
It is my firm belief that parliamentary democracy must now be accorded its rightful space as we realign our priorities and seek to take the Great Lakes region to greater level. I draw lots of inspiration from the now clear signs that parliaments in this region have decided to be part and parcel of critical decision-making processes that shape the destiny of our region and its people.
Joe Samuel, Executive Secretary of the International Conference, says the security situation around Central and East Africa has been relatively calm. Samuel says the Great Lakes region still faces threat from terrorist groups in East Africa, especially in Kenya, Central Africa, and Democratic Republic of Congo.
We recommend that member states should support mediation efforts by Angolan president in his mission mandated by the African Union to find a solution to the conflict in the Eastern DRC and Rwanda. In addition, we should encourage the Sudan Liberation Movement, Abdul Wahid, and Sudan People's Liberation Movement, North Al-Hilu, to join the ongoing peace process and also advocate the international community for the total lifting of arms embargo imposed by the UN on the Republic of South Sudan and the Central African Republic.
The Secretary General of the Forum of the Parliaments of the Conference, Onyango Kakoba, says the ICGLR was established to bring parliamentary contributions towards implementation of security measures in the region with a particular focus on the DRC.
These are plans to make effective contribution in the resolution of conflicts in the Great Lakes region with a special focus on the conflict in Eastern DRC. Both the Forum's Permanent Committee on Peace and Security and the Executive Committee met and came up with proposals and recommendations intended to help the plenary assembly in taking decisions that will contribute to the resolution of conflicts in the region.
The Speaker of South Sudan Transitional National Legislative Assembly, Jemenunu Kumba, welcomed the speakers to Juba for the 2 days conference. Kumba says the conference is happening at a time when countries in the Great Lakes region face several political and humanitarian challenges.
The forum has come at the right time as we experience increased political, security, economic, governance, interstate, border conflicts, and humanitarian challenges in the region. The importance of parliamentary diplomacy in conflict resolution cannot be overemphasized.
Kumba says such conferences are used by many countries to channel national and foreign policies through parliament engagement. The meeting is being officiated by James Wani Iga, South Sudan Vice President in charge of the South Sudan's economic cluster. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Juba, the Troika countries of United Kingdom, Norway and the United States are calling on South Sudanese leaders to focus on meeting their commitments to the people of South Sudan. Troika released a statement this week asking the leaders to implement the peace agreement and make sustained tangible progress to completing the transition to a permanent elected government acceptable to South Sudanese. The statement says the implementation of the peace agreement is not progressing with the necessary political will, as was assured by the government when it obtained a 2-year extension of the transitional period. President Kiir stated during the opening of the transitional parliament last week that there would be no more extensions and that elections will be held as scheduled. Troika says time is fleeting if the transitional government intends to match the president's words with tangible action to complete the constitution and hold credible elections. Talks in Sudan aimed at reaching a final agreement to name a civilian-led government next month and launch a new transition to elections have hit a roadblock. Military and political sources tell Reuters the disagreements have emerged over a timeline for the integration of the powerful paramilitary rapid support forces into the military. Reuters says the army, police and intelligence withdrew from the talks, which concluded Wednesday without issuing any recommendations. Reuters says the military prefers a 2-year timeline for integration. International facilitators have suggested 5 years, while the RSF prefers 10 years. Both forces say they are waiting for the results of a technical committee discussing the details on integration. A civilian government is due to be named on April 11. As Ethiopia's civil war comes to an end, along with communication blackout in the Tigray region, the Red Cross is helping refugee families who fled to Sudan to find relatives who were unable to escape the conflict. For VOA, Henry Wilkins met one man in Khartoum who is desperately looking for his lost relative.
In Khartoum, a long-established community of expatriates from Ethiopia's Tigray region is seeing new arrivals, refugees who fled the 2-year-long war in Tigray. Even though it ended with a peace agreement in November, some still trickle in from the refugee camps close to Ethiopia's border. Getachew is one of them. Biwe is not using his real name to protect him and his family. Now that phone and internet service has been restored in Tigray, many, like Getachew, are searching for missing relatives they were separated from in the war. Getachew has not seen his father, a soldier in the Tigrayan army, since the war began. He says his father was in the military, he was a soldier, but there's no information on whether he is alive or dead. Even my family can't find my father, he says. I don't have anyone to ask. Specialists from the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC, are helping people like Getachew find their families. Andreas Nazis Shadin is an ICRC protection officer.
As if they lost contact with their loved ones, then we provide them tracing service, both receiving from abroad and sending from here.
ICRC is one of the humanitarian organizations which is allowed to operate in Tigray. Both sides in Ethiopia's conflict have been accused of crimes against humanity, but the extent of the ethnic cleansing which is alleged to have taken place in Tigray is not yet known. Journalists and human rights investigators have not been given access to the region by Ethiopian authorities. VOA asked if the ICRC's tracing service can provide any insights into the scale of the atrocities in Tigray. Pascal Katat is the ICRC head of delegation in Sudan.
Now, I don't have specific statistics with regard to this context here, but we have thousands of people who are looked for by a family member, and we have dozens of resolved cases. Of course, the cases resolved will increase.
Kattad says most cases take a long time to solve, if they're solved at all. But Getachew continues his search with the help of Shardin. He says he called his grandparents to ask where his father is, but they don't know anything. Because of the war, I can't find my family, and I can't live without them, he added. His search is unlikely to bear fruit, but he is not giving up. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Khartoum, Sudan.
From Sudan, we go to Zambia, where the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris arrived in Zambia, the third and final leg of her week-long three-nation visit to Africa. She is scheduled to participate in a bilateral meeting with Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema. Catherine Short has details from Lusaka.
I'm here in Lusaka at the Kenneth Kaunda International Airport, where U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has just landed to a thunderous welcome. She is with Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff. She was welcomed by Zambia's Vice President Mutale Nalumango and other senior government officials. It was a thunderous welcome as dance troops danced and just welcomed her to Zambia, which many see as her second home because she has a personal connection to Zambia because her grandfather was a diplomat in Zambia. And so Vice President Kamala Harris, as a five-year-old, visited him in Lusaka. So it's a homecoming for Vice President Kamala Harris for the next 2 days. And also along the roads, right from the airport to a state house, we saw also a lot of people that gathered to catch a glimpse of her. And she is expected to hold talks, bilateral talks, with Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema, and also to have a press conference. This is Kathy Short in Lusaka, Zambia, for VOA News.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, drivers in South Sudan's capital celebrate the removal of a requirement for motorists to carry assessment certificate. Stay tuned for details after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Motorists in the South Sudan's capital, Juba, have welcomed new order by the Director General of Traffic Police to stop asking motorists to show driving assessment certificates. The police began demanding for assessment certificates in August 2001 to crack down on drivers using fake driving license. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
On Wednesday, the Director General for Traffic Police, Major Con John Accord, banned driving assessment certificates. In the past, police often demanded the certificates from motorists who had driver's license. Officers would force motorists to pay for a driving test if they did not have the certificate. Juba resident Danson Machek welcomed the move and says he hopes the police do not ask for it in the future, since every motorist who owns a driver license has already passed a driving skills test.
So I'm not supposed to be asked about driving certificate or assessment when I already have a license. Is the assessment that should be given to me first? Then when I get my license, I don't need to do anything with assessment.
Machek says he does not understand why police demand that motorists carry fire extinguisher in their cars either.
I hope this time, after this, they will do away with the fire extinguisher. Because personal car, I don't need to have fire extinguisher. How many people have they saved on the road that has been maybe involved in the car accident that involved the fire, or just a fire in the car?
Juba resident Manuon Mayen says he is glad the government stopped the officers from asking for driving assessment certificates, which he says disrupted business.
I think it has been very hectic and so challenging because even if they have the required documents, they've been asked to stop. Yes, they could stop. Delay. There have been a lot of delays, and since it is now removed, I think they are going to enjoy the business as usual.
Juba driver James Luate also supports the ban on driving assessment certificates, but says police could continue to ensure that only qualified drivers are allowed to get behind the wheel.
They are new drivers. They don't have even the license, but they used to drive, and they drive recklessly. So to check on them, at least it gives them fear that they can really drive well, they can go and get their license before driving.
Motorists often complain that officers were exploiting the use of certificates to extort money from drivers. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Juba, VOA's 93.6 FM is 10 years old this week. Our service to the residents of Juba Town was launched on March 23, 2013 at Nyakuron Cultural Center by Ambassador Susan Page, the first U.S. ambassador to South Sudan. Some listeners of this program say they continue to tune into VOA because it provides balanced and reliable information. Our reporter Juliana Shiapai collected comments from some people in Juba.
My name is Oyet Patrick. I am the head of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan. I am one of the people who listen a lot to VOA South Sudan in Focus, and I really follow a lot of peace process, the South Sudan's peace process, which, by the way, VOA South Sudan in Focus has covered very, very well, extensively. And this I have been following for many years. That is, like, for example, in 2014 to 2015, when the peace process was going on in Addis Ababa, sometimes you would find that there would be no radio station from South Sudan that is really covering the story, but still, you know, you would listen to what is happening there over VOA, the South Sudan in Focus. So that has really made me to continue following, South Sudan in Focus. And not only that, the fact that also John Tanza, who does a lot of the presentation, has been here with us in South Sudan. And he was one of my mentors when I was a very young journalist working at Bakita Radio. So really, it gives me a lot of attachment to that program.
My name is Jolie Okello, a VOA listener from Juba, South Sudan. I like VOA because of its quality content, and the source of information is reliable and trusted for both local and international news. I like listening to South Sudan in Focus.
My name is Mika Omane Amina Allison. I'm a VOA listener from Juba, South Sudan. I love listening to VOA because its news and everything about it is reliable and just perfect. It's one of the radios I stay into all the time. Their sports, everything about, especially the music. They bring music from all over the world, all the countries, the cultures, everything. They teach us a lot.
My name is Ayume John, a South Sudanese, and I'm a good listener of VOA, more especially Focus in South Sudan Focus, for the last 10 years. When I've been outside the country, I normally listen to it. Like in Uganda, I listen to it and I've been getting the coverage. And I would want to say that VOA is a very, very, very good, platform, very informative, very educative. The news that we are unable to get from other sources, we get it from VOA. And that's why I celebrate VOA. Without them, some of the informations wouldn't have gotten them. But I think the 10 years in South Sudan is of a good work. It's not time wasted, but they have done so much. And I believe that our people in the country have enjoyed so much of VOA, including my mother, my father at home. They listen to VOA news because they trust them. They are very reliable. And they said the news are very credible. That's why they always follow them.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Dedi Esbon Samuel. And first of all, I would like to say happy anniversary to VOA, South Sudan in Focus. What I like about this program is because it brings in current news about what is happening in South Sudan. And some stories, I mean,
some stories that sometimes we don't get them in our local radio stations. We do get them on the Voice of America, South Sudan in Focus, because it also covers almost the 10 states and 3 administrative areas. So precisely that is what I like about VOA, South Sudan in Focus.
Okay, I'm called Joseph Bidal Rufus, commonly known as Jose the Lastborn. First and foremost, I would like to say happy 10 years anniversary to VOA. That is the voice of voiceless, if I can put it that way. Basically, I enjoy everything to do with VOA when it comes to their news. Like, I really enjoy everything. Not only me, but there are times where I'll be like caught up doing other things outside. But I just have that feeling that this is a very important information that is coming out from the VOA. That is why I love to rush, because I have a trust in whatever comes from the VOA.
By name, I'm called Saki Morojon. And the day of today, it has really made me to be so happy and excited, because I have met other staff of VOA. And for these 10 years, we have really started a lot. VOA have made great changes in South Sudan, and we have really get a lot of stories in VOA.
My name is Kiko Evelyn Martin. I'm just an intern in Classic FM World. VOA is an interesting program that I always enjoy, especially when it tunes in different people from different backgrounds. It makes me happy. As a South Sudanese, we are trying to catch up with some other countries. So it bonds that relationship with other people, because it focuses here and then it focuses in the US, which makes it very broad, and we are really happy. Me personally, I'm very happy. I enjoy the program so much, and I'll just tell the people that they should go on with VOA, inject more into it, resources and all that, to make it more big and all that. And for the also listeners of VOA, we advocate that you guys come more in a bigger number to enjoy the programs. There is an interesting program in it. Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Molik Burkana. I'm the public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba, South Sudan. And I love to listen to South Sudan in Focus. It's a great source of contemporary news information. And I tune in, I listen to it on online in the podcasts, and I find it a definitive source of information about South Sudan. And I also want to extend a very special greeting. It's the 10-year anniversary of South Sudan in Focus through Voice of America. And I wish you many decades of success in the future. Happy anniversary. Happy 10 years. Thank you.
Those are voices of people who enjoy programs offered by the Voice of America. Juliana Shiapai collected those voices in Juba. We love to hear your remarks on some of the issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We heard from some of you this week about insecurity in South Sudan, such as Mala Daumal in Port Town, who writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Our people are still killing themselves because of no rule of law in the country, greatly precipitated by the hesitancy to implement the 2018 Khartoum peace agreement by the signatories. Unfortunately, there's a possibility of another extension of the transitional period in 2025. It's very sad." Peter Gonyanyang Majongdul in Kampala, Uganda says, "Dear VOA, providing enough security is the best way to solve a series of displacements across the country. The government concerned should make sure that security is provided at the grassroots level, such that those sheltering at IDP camps can return to their localities." James Roy Majok from Unity State's Bantu Town writes, "The political tensions between the SPLM in government and the SPLM-IO parties needs to be addressed urgently. If not, this will take our country back to war. That's the way I observe the country since the Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs has been relieved by President Salva Kiir from the position." Jacob Dior Matueng from Ural in Lake State says, "My heartfelt condolences to the family of my beloved student, Mangariel, who was killed by a stray bullet during the demolition exercise in Rubek Center on Monday. It's a pity that the soldiers whom we seek refuge with are carelessly taking a few lives that were left by the previous conflicts in Lake State. May he rest in peace with the Almighty." Lima Albino from Uganda's Palabek Refugee Settlement Camp writes, "Hi, Voice of America. I love your news more than any other station because it is used to update me on what is happening in our country, the Republic of South Sudan." Martin Manil Wugol in Juba says, "Hello, John and Nabil. Allow me to congratulate the newly appointed Honorable Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs, General Cholton Balok, a true liberator of the liberation struggle to free the great people of South Sudan from the forces of discrimination and deprivation during the days of a struggle for independence. As a young man, together with his SPLA, now SSPDF comrades, they sacrificed their dear lives to liberate the people of South Sudan from the Arab rule in Sudan and establish a country of our own which we are proud of. Long live His Excellency the President, long live General Cholton Balok." Samuel Remo in Yei writes, "Hi John Tanze and Nabil Biagio. I would like to appreciate the excellent work done by civil society organizations which are operating in the country. Well done, and I wish you could create more at the grassroots level to teach common people to know their rights. Thanks." Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba says, "I said before and I'll say it again. Land is the most sensitive thing in South Sudan. We can now see how events are unfolding in Lake State. This thing called land is not a joking subject anywhere in Africa. Why must Lake State government use such a huge unnecessary force on innocent civilians? The Lake State governor is overstepping and overdoing it also. He is not above the law. Extrajudicial killings must be condemned by any citizen with a sound mind." Joel Philip Kwan in Bor Town of Jonglei State in South Sudan says, "I would like to take an opportunity to advise the Minister of General Education and Instruction, Awud Dengachwil, and the National Council of High Education to take a tough approach with restrictions and rules to guide the national examinations regarding cheating. It shows as a major embarrassment to the government of South Sudan and the entire Examination Council in South Sudan. Thanks." Asega Ludanga Evans from the DRC Congo says, "Hi VOA Africa. The issue of the South Sudanese pound losing its value is making people live at a low standard of living at a high cost." An unnamed listener writes, "Hello there, VOA team. I want to thank you so much for being the station of choice because of your credible broadcast. For many months, actually since last year, I have lost connection. I have not been receiving the daily news like I used to do. I request once again to reinstate me back." Joseph Marial from Lake State says, "Hi, VOA News. I would like to be added to this group so that I can listen to the daily news of our country. Thanks." And finally, Boboya Francisco Wani from Yei River County of Central Equatoria State writes, "Good evening, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. The opening of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly is welcome. Such bills, which had been pending, will be passed to the presidency to be signed into law. But I'm just sorry that our members of the legislature are putting their interests first rather than the issues of the country, like the devaluation of the currency, the economic crisis, and the increase of salaries for civil servants as their top agenda items. If they continue in the spirit of self-interest, then we on the ground will be the ones suffering. But no worry, 2024 is coming. The opinions expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We always enjoy hearing from you. Keep those comments coming."
We have been listening to Emmanuel and the song, "Oh Mama." I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Helen, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.